Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chitta Datu the Chitra Adlin Ibhavavna Bhuja Dhuman Nilasayam Jiva Jalan Nalani Sura Sevata Chitta Svanai. Jalasayan jiva jalam nalini surashevata chitasunai pataratir vibhamad tamarastya. I pass through hills and mountains full of reservoirs of various minerals like gold, silver, and copper, and through tracts of land with reservoirs of water filled with beautiful lotus flowers. Fit for the denizens of heaven, decorated with bewildered bees and singing birds. I then passed along through many forests of rushes, bamboo, reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerously fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Purport. It is the duty of a mendicant, Parivrajakacharya, to experience all varieties of God's creation by traveling alone through all forests, hills, towns, villages, etc., to gain faith in God and strength of mind, as well as to enlighten the inhabitants with the message. Sannyasi is duty-bound to take all these risks without fear. And the most typical sannyasi of the present age is Lord Chaitanya, who traveled in the same manner through the central Indian jungles, enlightening even the tigers, bears, snakes, deers, elephants, and many other jungle animals. In this age of Kali, sannyasi is forbidden for ordinary men. One who changes his dress to make propaganda is different, however, from the original ideal sannyasi. One should, however, take the vow to stop social intercourse completely and devote life exclusively to the service of the Lord. The change of dress is only a formality. Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of the sannyasi. In this age of Kali, the so-called sannyasi should not change their former names, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. In this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the holy glories of the Lord is strongly recommended. And one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life need not imitate the Parivrajakacharyas like Narada or Lord Chaitanya, but may sit down at some holy place and devote his whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the holy scriptures left by the great acharyas like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Om Gyanata Narandrasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Daksu Yundavatam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Astapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from the Bhakti Center. Actually, I spent last night at Ladan Mohan. I went there for dinner and we talked into the night. Crashed out in this beautiful, peaceful, really peaceful place, spiritual place, and then came here to class. And so we're following the life of Narada Muni, who's telling his own story only to the edification of his disciple Srila Vyasadeva, only to emphasize a point that he was making to Vyasadeva during Vyasadeva's attempt to edit the Vedas, that the most efficacious process and really the ultimate teaching of the Vedas, and really the most accessible message and relevant and easily applicable message for one who is free from envy, is that we should become devotees. We should change our hearts. That's what spiritual life is. Spiritual life means to change our hearts from selfishness to selflessness and love. And that the best way of doing that is to hear about God in his most intimate and fully fullest manifestation of love, Sri Krishna. And to hear about that, and also to hear about that love in the hearts of the devotees of Krishna, Vrindavan pastimes, and to hear it from a person who has those aspirations and hopefully a drop of that love. And to associate with those people. So that's his message. And he's speaking it so forcefully because that is the story. That is the story of his own transformation. And as he explains, and as we've heard, it's a remarkable transformation. Because he doesn't have a very auspicious birth. For some reason or other, he's growing up without a father. I've never been able to solve that mystery. But either he lost his father very young, or his birth was not legitimate, even. That's also a possibility. And somehow or other, we see that somehow or other, that position a very humble position. Enabled him to taste humility. Or somehow have humility. See, when you're in a humble position, I'm not saying you're humble, but you're in a humble position, you can do two things. You can develop love, you can develop envy. And the humble position is a facility for either. Depending on your samskaras, depending on your association. Hey, let's give credit to Narada's mother. But somehow or other, it made him humble, loving, especially loving to superiors, which is called respect. It made him respectful to his mother and then to the Bhaktivedantas. Seems like his mother was just a caretaker for a simple lodge where during the 4 months of the rainy season, some traveling mendicants, the Bhaktivedantas, stayed. And Narada Muni's story, and Prabhupada's going to explain this later in the story, exactly parallels Rupa Goswami's verse Tadau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Samra. It exactly parallels his verse, the progressions of bhakti, beginning with appreciation. Prabhupada said devotional service begins with appreciation. Somehow or other, you appreciate surrender to God. You know, when I was driving here this morning on the Taconic Parkway, and also driving from Sun Falls last night, and it's really beautiful, the country up there, and driving on that Taconic Highway, it's all greenery, and you look in the background, there's mountains. And if you just meditate a little bit, and then the day before, I'm not a nature buff, I generally stay in my room, but I try to develop the habit when I'm up there, after a while, just going out for a walk, sitting by the waterfall, chanting. And it's healthy to see that there's some incredible power greater than you. And to humble yourself before that power in a way that a drop of love can come into your heart. That's Krishna consciousness. To get out of the consciousness that we are subject and things are object. And to look at ourselves as part of something, as an object of God, as a part of God. And to actually dive into that consciousness of humility and try to transcend the ego, which is such a miserable condition. We're attached to a miserable condition. And so much of our life is to feed that miserable condition. Anyway, whatever the case is, Narada had something. And what he had was humility. He had nothing else. But somehow or other, it's a faith. Maybe we know from his past life, whatever. Or something else, but it's a faith. It's a faith, an understanding, an appreciation, a taste for being small, in love, to something great. He somehow had that taste. And from that taste, that appreciation, for devotional service, which means not to be the controller and enjoyer. It means to be happy as a servant, be happy connected with something greater than your own self. Then somehow or other, from that faith, everything happens. Everything happens. Because without that faith, you can't appreciate. So somehow or other, there's a spark of that in us. It's called love. It's called emotional service. It's called prema. Somehow or other, in the association of devotees, when we see that love, that service, that prema embodied before us, it does two things to our consciousness. It makes us appreciate. It makes us want to serve that. Because somehow or other, love is great. Love is the greatest thing. Even if it's not Aishwarya, even if it's not opulence, even if it's not majesty, even if it's not power. Love is the greatest thing. So somehow or other, you accept that as great. The humble sage, the humble devotee, then you'll desire to serve that, and you'll want to be like that. And that's how bhakti begins. So Narada became impressed by these great bhakti Vedantas, these great souls. Narada became impressed. And he developed faith, which opened up the mind, and through the mind as a doorway practically to the soul, it opened up. It opened up an experience, a deep experience of the beauty of spiritual phenomena. Even taking prasad once completely purified him because of his faith. And then, and it's so nice to repeat the story again and again from different angles, different perspectives, different realizations. And then they saw his humility and realized that they could give him the jewel of transcendental knowledge, which he had the perspective to understand. They weren't going to throw their pearls to a swine. Unless you're in the mood of service, you can't. You have no access to the absolute truth, which is meant to be served. So, they taught him the Bhagavatam. I don't know if they taught him 18,000 verses. He was a young boy. But maybe they taught him something. They taught him the Bhagavatam was originally spoken in 4 verses. Bhagavatam's 18,000 verses, but it has one message: Krishna is God, and serve God with faith and love. Somehow or other, they communicated that to him, and he developed absolute faith. Absolute faith that Sharanagata, that I am completely maintained by God. He developed very deep faith to the extent that when his mother died, who was his only material shelter. He took the tragedy, I'm not sure it was a deep tragedy, a deep shock to him. I don't think immediately started doing Cure for Joy. I think it was a deep tragedy for him. He left home. He had enough faith in God to look at that tragedy and see what God was telling him. God was telling his mother one thing, she probably became liberated. God was probably relieving her of her suffering, you know, and somehow or other everything's adjusted, but he was trying to see a relationship himself. And he thought, I have no use for this world. It was a mature realization. Equal pure devotees could have the realization, but he's only five, but if they're a little older now, I should get married and, you know, family to sue. But anyway, whatever the case is, he had this realization and he started to travel. And he basically he took sannyas and he began to travel. There's four stages of sannyas. There's Bahudak, Kutichak, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa. In Bahudak, the man would live on the outside of the village and his family would just bring him food. It's Bahudak. And then Kutichak is he would just stay in his village, but he would still just beg the food. And Parivrajakacharya means, Pari means to go around. Parivraja. Maybe to go around, Vraja. No. Parivrajakacharya. Vraja also means to pass you. But anyway, to go and experience God's creation. And the experience of God's creation, and we can talk about the experience of God's creation, is to actually keep in one's faith that the world is moving for us. That the world is absolutely beneficent. It was beneficent when it took his mother. It was beneficent. And as he was traveling, there were deep realizations that came. And what he saw is that actually I'm being maintained. My mother is gone, so who is maintaining me? I'm hungry, and here are some berries on a tree. I'm thirsty, here's clear water. I need some rest. Here's a nice tree. I need protection. Sadhu Dege. Snake has seen the sadhu. Whatever it is, the faith is that you are protected by God. It's like you can have a fortress and still die. So who's killed you? Who protects you? There's that kind of faith. And it goes deep into the heart. You feel a natural love for God. And therefore, it's very, very healthy always to perform austerity naturally or sacrifice. to make natural moves in your life beyond your calculation for your own protection and enjoyment. Just so you can get a glimpse that actually everything is coming from God. But when you're only endeavoring and you're only becoming the instrument, when you're only allowing yourself to be the only instrument for God's protection and maintenance, then there's a chance you won't see God. So somehow or other, it's kind of very healthy for the consciousness. And especially in this kind of social culture, the end of life, one, you know, is supposed to have been reasonably purified. Supposed to have been reasonably purified. And therefore can concentrate on detachment of those things not necessary for God's service. I'm figuring, you know, anyway, soon I'll be 64 years old. And, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, I have to up the ante in terms of my renunciation, which means upping the ante in terms of my dedication. When will I become serious? It's just part of life. Definitely, when you start getting older, you can kind of feel the stiffness in your body. You can definitely feel the digestion going down. More repairs on the old car of the body. And it's a natural indication of, you know, to lessen the emolument of the material body and the endeavor to satisfy our desires. It's just a natural thing, and putting oneself in situations like Narada says to do that. And, you know, you can see, though, know, people that are really simple and preaching Krishna consciousness, distributing Prabhupada's books and doing different things or whatever, a good opportunity to learn detachment. And learning detachment means to not be disturbed when things are beyond one's control. Because that means you're the enjoyer and controller. And the extent that you are, it's the extent that you're in that consciousness. So, and Prabhupada talked about sannyasi. And maybe you can't be sannyasi like days of yours, but you have to dedicate yourself to Krishna consciousness and step out a bit of that. Take the vow of opposite, stop social intercourse completely. You're exchanging on the basis of Krishna consciousness. And it's not a formality. It's not a formality. It's a consciousness. And interesting, too, how Prabhupada said, if you can't be a Pratibhrajakacharya, then at least go to a holy place and sit down and chant. Prabhupada never thought that that was the highest. He thought the highest was giving oneself to God fully. Of course, whatever way one gives is the highest. We'll read one more verse. Thus traveling, I felt tired, both bodily and mentally, and I was both thirsty and hungry. So I took a bath in a river or lake, and I also drank water. By contacting water, I became relieved from my exhaustion. Therefore, a traveling mendicant can meet the needs of body, namely thirst and hunger, by the gifts of nature without being a beggar at the doors of the house. The mendicant, therefore, does not go to the householder to beg, but to enlighten him spiritually. So he's saying, really, the mendicant, the only reason he's staying within society is to preach. Otherwise, you know, and you have to judge, you know, it used to be like that in India when I was gone to read the journey home. You know, there was a facility just to live so simply, there was a facility for that. India was a spiritual paradise in that regard. It's a real taste, for that kind of thing. And you see good sannyasi by Jaya Great Marge. No problem taking a train or whatever, you know, living simply. And then on Krishna. It's very attractive. And when you're detached, you can also speak the truth. Because what prevents people from speaking the truth, which is often unpopular, because the truth challenges the foundations of people's attachment sometimes. And so, people are attached. They're attached to position, they're attached to things. And they don't like that. And if they're in power, they can stop that. The way they can stop that is threaten you by taking away your own position, by taking away your own power, by taking away your own privileges. So it's very hard to speak the truth. But if one is detached, like Chanakya Pandit, he was advising the king, and he was living in a hut. And his power was, if you don't like my advice, I won't give it. But there's nothing like an advisor, because our whole life is based on all the questions that we have, all the situations we're in. And we know how important decisions are for determining our future. How whatever situation we're mirrored in now is due to the decisions we made in the past. So someone who can give good advice is the most wanted commodity. So that's the power of the sadhu. If you don't accept what I have, then fine. Then do your own thing. I don't need to advise you. People want that so much. So that's the power of the sadhu. So, okay, we can read on. After that, under the shadow of a banyan tree, in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul situated within, using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls. Purport: one should not meditate according to one's whims. One should know perfectly well from authoritative sources of scriptures through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master, and by proper use of one's trained intelligence for meditating upon the super soul dwelling within every living being. This consciousness is firmly developed by a devotee who has rendered loving service unto the Lord by carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. Narada Muni contacted bona fide spiritual masters, served them sincerely, and got enlightened rightly. Thus he began to meditate. So, yeah, to say, you, by surrender at service, you become qualified to meditate. Yesterday when I was speaking with Madan Mohan, it was really interesting. He was just asking me questions and answering, discussing. So he asked me, what about all these techniques that are described in the Goswami literatures for meditations? Do we need that, or can we just chant Hare Krishna? Can we just serve Guru? Can we just be absorbed in outreach? And we don't need to worry about those things. And the point I made is that by doing those things, one will become qualified, and meditating on Krishna will become relevant in ways. You don't have to artificially do anything. You just have to surrender to Guru and Krishna, which means to serve the holy name. And that will give everything, including the taste to do things which you can get further guidance, as he's done. So it's a nice example. He was surrendered to his guru. This wasn't something of self-absorption, but he became a great meditator. He was just surrendered and had realization and wanted God so much. And when he traveled and traveled in his experience, and then he felt inspiration, a deep inspiration to meditate. But he didn't do it whimsically. He followed his teachers, who gave him the instructions how to do this. Okay, I'm going to stop here now. Are there any questions? When I give class at the Bhakti Center, I definitely try to stop a little bit early if there's questions. Anybody have any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Nandadula, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, please accept my humble obeisance. I have not questions. I wanted to just corroborate that we mentioned about Jayadeva Maharaj. He just came today morning, 5:30, taking the bus from New York, taking all the trouble to come to attend today's lecture. We have program every Sunday. So what you told is true.
I can imagine taking bus from New York. That must be about 7 hours.
Yes.
Okay. Confirmed. Without being disturbed. Confirmed. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Thank you for that. Anybody else like to say hello?
Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Liam Bree.
Hey, Liam Bree. Hare Krishna. I was just at Madan's last night. He mentioned you both so favorably, and I concurred. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for having the class.
Thank you so much. Great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Haribo Maharaj, Shastra Das.
Shastra, Haribo. Shastra, I sent out my one notice, because, you know, I don't advertise a big program. I just let souls find the program, you know, and it's worked out well that way. So I just put on one notice, and that's it. And who comes, comes. but have a great time in touring. Okay.
Yes.
When's the Dry Bars coming to you?
11th.
11th, okay. Okay, all right, very well. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, nice to have you on. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, fine. For today, we can end. Let's see what we did. Anyway, we did go for 1 second here. Oh, one thing. Okay, we'll end for now because I have to get prepared for the Bhakti Sector talk today. And, yeah, we'll see you next Sunday, too. Thank you. Okay, Hare Krishna.